The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network. Hello, Sunshine, and welcome to She Was the Fire. It's time to stop dancing in the dark. Let's start your fire and ignite your spark. Welcome to episode 34, my final episode of 2020 and the final court report. My final episode. Can you believe that? 34 episodes this year. Like, it feels like, I don't know, it's not been 34. It feels like maybe 10 episodes. Like, I think they've gone like so fast, but to think that I started this back in when we were in isolation on the Gold Coast in the Queensland, what the hell was I saying? It's just crazy. Like, it's just gone so fast, but it's also gone so slow. And I've said that every single week. I think you understand what I'm saying by now. But yeah, episode 34, the final court report. I asked you, you voted, you wanted it to be a wrap up of everything that I loved this year. You didn't want like an all time favorites. I guess I can do that another time. So today we're just going through the best of the best of what I consumed this year. Before we start though, obviously a fire starter. And today's fire starter is going to be one of my favorite songs of the year, not necessarily from this year. It might have come out last year. Did it come out this year? I don't remember. I'm not sure. Golden by Harry Styles. What a mood that song is. Bloody love it. Just makes me so happy. Yeah, I'll put that in the fire starter list and give that a whirl. Go click on it through the link in the show notes, or you can just type my name into Spotify. And that is the final entry for 2020. Let's ignite today's topic, the court report, starting off with what I watched. So I'm basically just going to highlight all of my favorite things that I watched, consumed, whatever, this year. I'm not going to go into like a whole big thing, who starred in it, you know, my favorite thing about it. I'm just going to like quickly touch on each thing just so that if you are at home during this holiday break, you can binge some of this stuff. All right, this is the best of the best. Okay, television. Shards of Sunset. Yep, that's right. Shards of Sunset. And I watched that on Hey You. And it is basically like a reality TV show about a bunch of sort of Persian people who live in LA. And it's just like a very different culture, and but also a mix of like Hollywood glam thrown in there with also like Beverly Hills Housewives vibes. So much drama. It's like a close-knit of group of friends, which actually makes for some really interesting content, because usually with reality shows, it's like a bunch of strangers thrown in together or like middle-aged women pretending to be friends. This is actually people who've been friends since they were like children, and how their like dynamic of their group, how they work with their families and how they have, you know, these different cultures that they're trying to, from their family's beliefs with their own beliefs and living in LA, all that different kind of stuff. It's just fab. It's bloody fab. There's a bit of glitz and glam in there too. And I think that, you know, if you like reality shows, this is a top-notch one. And that was the first time I saw it this year, and I just binge-watched the whole thing. There's several seasons. All right, next up, The Queen's Gambit. I watched that recently, and it's about this, you know, it's set back. Oh my God, I should have really researched some of these things. It's set back in the olden days. That's a really specific time period for you, about this girl who's like an orphan and she becomes like a genius chess player. And it's about her sort of navigating a male dominated industry, I guess, is chess an industry, you know, sport. Is it a sport? I'm just saying words. I need to gather myself. Just to give you a bit of context, I have just come off the back of one-on-ones with all of my staff. I started at 9 a.m. It's now 4 p.m. and that's all I have done all day, going through all their strengths and their weaknesses. So I'm a little like my brain's not really functioning or firing as fast as it should, but we're getting through it. And I usually podcast at the start of the day because I'm more alert then, because, you know, immunotherapy brain, but it's all right. We're going to get through this together. Anyway, I don't know. Chess is a game. It's a male-dominated game, whatever. And it's just like really an interesting show. It's like not like super high paced with like lots happening, but it's just very interesting the way that they've done the set is amazing, the costumes, the acting. It's just all really good content. I really enjoyed that show. Highly recommend. Another new TV show in my life that I absolutely binge-watched all of the seasons this year, was recommended by one of you guys as well. It was Line of Duty. Now, this is a BBC cop show. I've talked about it on this before. BBC does the best cop shows. They remind me of when I used to watch The Bill when I was like a little girl with my nana. And, you know, nobody does cop shows like the BBC. And this is basically about it's about a group of policemen who work in the anti-corruption unit. So their job is to sort of investigate corruption within the police force. So like if police are, you know, taking bribes on the side or committing crimes, and it's their job to sort of infiltrate them, go undercover and, you know, get to the bottom of the crime. And every season is the same detectives within the corruption unit, but then every season is like a new case that they're sort of investigating. It's so good. I'm like, you really hooked on it. There's a lot of action in it. It's like a typical kind of cop show, but it's just a bit of an interesting take on it because it's the police committing the actual crimes. So it's really good. Highly recommend. Then there is Selling Sunset, which I think everybody knows what that is. It was a big reality show this year, with their latest season during ISO. Everyone was watching that. It's a reality show about people who work at a real estate agency in LA. And it's just their lives, basically. It is a little bit like The Hills vibes, where it feels like quite a staged reality show and like a little bit, I don't know, like a little bit scripted. I don't want to say it, but it feels a little bit put together, I guess, whereas Shards of Sunset really feels like, you know, as naively as I can say this, they're just turning your camera on and capturing these people's lives. You know, this one, Selling Sunset, feels a little bit more like constructed, I guess is what I want to say, but still nonetheless pretty good content. Another show I loved earlier this season was Afterlife, and this is Ricky Gervais's show that he has written and he stars in, and it's like a very dark comedy. It's Ricky Gervais, so of course it's dark, but it's all about trigger warning. It's about grief, suicide, death, all that kind of stuff, but just a funny spin on it. And that's just Ricky Gervais's ammo, I think, that, you know, he finds the funny in everything, and this show really highlights that. It's just such good content. Like, he just is such a smart comedian, and it's one of the very few shows where I'll actually laugh out loud. It's called Afterlife. It was season two. They've commissioned season three, so that will be coming next year. But yeah, it's a really beautiful show to watch as well as being funny. Like, it just, it's very heartfelt and real, I think, but then also like that classic Ricky Gervais sense of humor. Bloody love it. Next up was Yellowstone. I watched that this year too. Bloody loved that. Love me a bit of Kevin Costner. Who doesn't? And, you know, we're all bloody waiting for the next season, the finale. Whoa. Cliffhanger was crazy. So if you're, it's about like a family who live on a ranch, like a wealthy family who are kind of like dominating the area. They own the ranch. They've lived there for years, and there's like a lot of corruption and murder and sex and drugs and all that kind of stuff. Like, out on the ranch with their horses. Sounds a little bit weird, but I've said before, it's a little bit like if The Sopranos lived on a ranch. It's a little bit like that. So if you're interested in that kind of content, it's a really good show. Like, I don't want to be sexist or anything, but sometimes, you know, your husband might not be into watching, you know, Shards of Sunset or, you know, The Queen's Gambit on the couch with you. But let me tell you, Line of Duty and Yellowstone, if you're wanting to get into a show with your husband or your boyfriend, I think these are like really good shows, or just the woman in your life who loves a bit of, you know, action. I mean, they're some of my favorite shows, so I know I certainly love them. If you like that kind of stuff, then, you know, it's good to like watch with your husband. So I recommend that. Next up, Schitt's Creek. Can't believe it took me so long to get on board with this show. I watched something like three seasons before I officially got into that content, and it was actually like, now I'm on board. There was just like a moment where they talk about that this like plaque that they have in like a garden, and I literally just laughed out loud. I had to pause it. I was laughing so hard, and that's when I knew I was all in on this show. It's so actually just hilarious. It's just such good writing, and the way as well that they write the different characters, what they do for the LGBTQI community is amazing. It's just like such a good feel-good show that was just like a real cult classic for this year. And so, yeah, I think that if you haven't watched Schitt's Creek, get on board. It's ended now. I think it had 6 seasons and it kind of was like a cult thing that a lot of people got into this year because it was ending. I think that tends to happen a lot. When something's ending, it gets talked about a lot more and so people like really jump on that bandwagon. I got on it and I'm so glad that I did. I think it's one of the funniest shows I've seen in a long time. There's not many shows that actually will make me laugh out loud. Veep is one of those shows, Parks and Rec, The Office, but it takes a lot. So I love, bloody loved Schitt's Creek. So good. Next up, we have Unorthodox. This was something that I watched really early on in the year, I believe. It was about a girl who is living, she's an Orthodox Jew in quite a specific part of New York where like they all sort of, all the Orthodox Jews live together and they have like a very, they're very religious and they have very strict rules and it's sort of like a very extreme version of the Jewish faith. And it's just very interesting. It actually has subtitles. I found it to be just really eye-opening. I guess I don't know a lot about the Jewish faith. Then I found this to be quite eye-opening and quite educational, as much as like a TV show, a scripted series can be. Acting top notch. It's a very slow paced show. It's not like full of action or anything, but it was just shot really well. And I think it's hard to get people to get into something that's got subtitles these days because you can't be on your phone at the same time as watching a show with subtitles. So it kind of forces you to sit down and concentrate on it. And it's definitely one of those shows that needs that. And I just really thoroughly enjoyed it. It's like quite definitely different content from Schitt's Creek, that's for sure, and Yellowstone. But I also really enjoyed that nonetheless. And the next thing that I watched this year that I really enjoyed was The Comey Rule. And that was about the man who was in charge of the FBI when President Trump, well, not when, during President Trump's reign, presidency, I guess, the first couple of years, and what it was like to be, I guess, the head of the FBI with such a divisive president. And it's, I think it's just a 2-part series. It's a scripted show and the acting is bloody top notch. And I found it to be quite interesting seeing what impact the president is supposed to and not supposed to have on the FBI and how it's supposed to be a very independent agency and how Comey, the guy that was in charge, was like really trying to not let Donald Trump be interfering with the FBI and how ultimately that could have contributed to his, you know, getting fired. So it's obviously, you know, I didn't want to give you too much of a spoiler there, but it's based on true events. So I think everyone knows that Comey ended up getting fired. So it's just a really good, interesting way to look at, I think, like maybe something that's not that interesting, I guess, like the inter-power dynamics of a president and the director of the FBI. I don't know, like from the outside, it's just a bit like, oh yeah, power struggle. But the way that they shot it, I thought was really interesting. The acting was just so bloody good. So I recommend that if you're into like that sort of political drama, which, as you know, given the West Wing fan that I am, that's a right up my alley. All right, on to film. I didn't have like heaps of TV when I think about it because I love a repeat. At the moment, I've rewatched Bones. You know, I'm rewatching a little bit of Once Upon a Time. Has anyone watched that show on Disney? I'm watching that. You know, I'm also getting into a little bit of Sons of Anarchy as well. So I haven't like gotten a lot of new content this year. I've done a lot of rewatches. I of course watch the West Wing again this year. I of course watch Friday Night Lights again this year because that's what I do. I rewatch my favorite shows, but those are the new ones that I enjoyed the most. All right, film. Bombshell. I saw that at the very start of the year and that is definitely the standout. Like I could just stop there. That was the standout of the year. Such a good movie. I just loved all of the acting, the way it was written. I really liked their use of Margot Robbie not actually playing a real person but being used as sort of a tool to show us a storyline, whereas like Nicole Kidman, Charlize Theron played like real people based on true events, whereas they used Margot Robbie more as a like plot device, and I really enjoyed how they did that. And I just thought it was just so interesting to see that sort of Me Too movement in a movie that was like a big Hollywood blockbuster, because we're sort of, I guess it was one of the first-ish ones out of that whole Me Too era where we're starting to see now it on film, we've obviously all lived it, and that's quite interesting. A lot of times when you see things on film, it's things that we haven't really experienced ourselves. It happened in, you know, like the wars and all that kind of stuff. It's like older content, but this like is very fresh still, this whole Me Too movement. So to see sort of a movie take on that was very interesting. I just felt very heartbroken and also empowered at the same time as a woman watching that movie. So if you haven't seen Bombshell, Charlize, Margot Robbie and Nicole Kidman are just so bloody good in it. Check it out. Next up was Hamilton. Now, I guess this isn't a film and it's just like a filmed version of the stage show, but I've waited so long to see Hamilton. Ever since it came out in America, I've just really wanted to see it and I haven't listened to any of the music. As iconic as that show is, that musical, I didn't want to hear the music without seeing it as the show itself. And I thought, you know, I'm never going to experience Hamilton like with COVID. Like, am I even going to go back to New York ever again? It's impossible to get tickets to Hamilton. So when it came out on Disney, I was like, yes, I need to watch it. I got to see hear the music for the first time and it lived up to all the hype. Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote it. It was amazing. I have just played that soundtrack on repeat this year. And then I bought tickets because it's actually, they're doing a production of it in Australia. So in Sydney next year, I think maybe May, June, I'll be going to see it. So I'm very excited about that. Next up, I watched this year Call Me By Your Name. Definitely not a new movie, but it was the first time I was seeing it. And it was just a really beautiful film about, I guess, like young love. Well, one person's young, one person's like, I guess, like mid-20s, 30s kind of vibe. And one of them is a bit younger. And it's two males, which you don't often see in film, which we're obviously seeing a lot more of, which is amazing. It was just really beautiful. It's based on the book by the same name and I haven't read the book myself, but it was just a very quiet film and really beautiful. I just really loved it. So if that's kind of the thing that you like, it's like the music, the way that it was shot, the setting, it's all really just beautiful. I think it was shot in Italy. And yeah, it's just like a really good film that I really enjoyed. Very different from the other films that I've just talked about, but nonetheless, a really good one. The other movie that I've got on my list is The Trial of the Chicago 7, which is about, written by Aaron Sorkin. So yeah, it basically shows the story behind the Chicago 7 who were arrested for conspiracy through like this whole protest period. And it's a lot about sort of racism in America. And yeah, I just found it to be so interesting. So yeah, I really enjoyed that. And that was kind of it for movies. We couldn't go to the cinemas this year. Not really any big new movies came out. So most of my year was about television, which, you know, it really is. I'm not huge on movies, to be honest. But those are the things that you need to binge watch if you have some time over the next few weeks. All right, next up is listening. I'm not going to go into each song. I'm just going to quickly list them and get out of there. Some of these are not necessarily new, but these are the songs that dominated my year. Fine Line album by Harry Styles, Happiness Begins by the Jonas Brothers, just Haim generally, Luke Combs generally, Maggie Rogers, Maren Morris generally, as I said, the Hamilton soundtrack, the two new Taylor Swift albums, Folklore and Evermore, the new Shawn Mendes album, Wonder. The songs that I really like played a lot other than on those albums was The Weeknd, Blinding Lights, Katy Perry, Daisies, Justin Bieber, his new ones, Holy and Lonely, I've also been loving. So those are kind of the songs that have really dominated my year. I just think that I didn't really get lost in a lot of individual songs this year. I really, for the first time in a while, I would say, I got lost in albums. And I think it's been a really long time since that's happened. I think since you don't really buy albums anymore, I've just been so used to like listening to singles. But I think because I was in isolation this year, I just got so used to just turning on an album and then just listening to the whole thing through. And so I just kept playing Harry Styles and Shawn Mendes. Was like kept playing. I mean, I have to have listened to that Taylor Swift Folklore album 50 billion times. Best work. Bloody love it. I feel like Evermore, just so you get my thoughts on it, that just came out, it's a bit of a grower. It hasn't stood out to me as much as what Folklore did. I'm still really liking it, but I am finding it hard to differentiate between songs on Evermore, on Folklore. It's all very similar. And so I am finding it hard to kind of like, if you were like to me, what song's this? I can't quite name things yet. Whereas when you think about albums like Lover or 1989, songs are so unique, they really stand out on their own. Whereas I am finding like Folklore and Evermore are kind of just all going in together. It's more of a vibe than individual songs. You know, the whole album together, both of them, albums, it's just like a vibe. And I am loving it. It's getting me in a mood. So the underground Swifties are saying a third album is coming and that this is like part of a trilogy, and they're saying it's going to be called Woodvale. So, you know, heard it here, not first, but yeah, one of the places you might have heard it here. So we'll see how that happens. Anyway, moving on, next up, podcasts. Now, I've chosen podcasts that have nothing related to me. So they're not, you know, like my friends are not on it. I'm not a producer on any of these podcasts. These are all just like completely separate to me, podcasts that I just listen to, completely separate that I've never been a guest on. I'm not in anyone's DMs to do with these podcasts, completely non-biased. All right. First up, I Weigh by Jamila Jamil. That has probably been one of my number one favorites this year. I bloody love Jamila Jamil and just the realness that she like speaks about. She's just so honest and she's not perfect. And that's what I like about it. She's trying to set an example whilst also being realistic about it. And just, you know, she fucks up, she makes mistakes, and she then just owns it. Because sometimes when you're put on a pedestal, especially as a woman, you know, in that industry, you're put on a pedestal and you have to be perfect. If you're going to speak on certain matters and issues and fight for women's rights and fight for body confidence and all that kind of stuff, you have to be perfect. Otherwise you get torn down. And she isn't perfect. And that's part of the narrative that she's like, I'm not perfect. I shouldn't have to be perfect. I'm learning. I'm just trying to do the right thing. You know, give people a break. Cancel culture is bullshit. So I really just love Jamila Jamil. Jamila Jamil, sorry. Shameless. I've listened to that every week for the whole of the year, pretty much. I really love Zara and Michelle and the content that they talk about. Sometimes I do not agree with a lot of the things that they're saying, and that's what interests me. You know what I mean? Like I like hearing different perspectives of things, and it's just like often light with a bit of depth to it. Like it's just airy-fairy stuff, dumb stuff for smart people, you know, and I really enjoy their content. They talk about current issues to do with pop culture and, you know, celebrities and influences, you know, trending topics in the news, then sort of deep dive into those issues. And yeah, as I said, sometimes I don't agree with the shit that they say, but that makes it more interesting. You learn something new, different perspectives. Next up, The Skinny Confidential. I've talked about Lauren Everett's and Michael Bostick's podcast on this podcast many a time. If I need to feel motivated, like to get work done, to get my hustle on, all that kind of shit, I'll listen to The Skinny Confidential. It gets me like so motivated to just take on the world. I really love that podcast. It just changes my, if I'm feeling like, oh, I don't want to get this, I don't want to work on the weekend, I can't be bothered, la, 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 I'll listen to that podcast and be like, I want to do all the things. I need to work now. I need to do more. I need to do this. It just gets me like really fired up. I love that. Next up is Unlocking Us from Brené Brown. Who doesn't love Brené Brown? Again, another person that is trying to teach us things and not being perfect while she's doing it. I love when people are real and raw, and when she gives examples about vulnerability, about leadership, all of these things, she says where she falls down and how she makes mistakes. She's human, and that's what I love. I hate it when people preach about, you know, all of the things that, you know, you need to do this, you should do that, you know, la, 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 and then as if they do everything perfectly every day. I hate that bullshit. And that's what I try to avoid on this podcast. Hopefully you don't feel like I'm just sprouting things that you should be doing from atop my bloody pedestal. And I hope that you see that I'm learning, I'm making mistakes, I fuck up all the time too, and here's what I'm learning from it. And I find that the way that Brené Brown asks questions of her guests, the same with Jamila, the things that they're like, just the thought-provoking information that they're spitting out at us in that podcast is just so amazing. And I feel like it opens up my mind to different perspectives. And I think this year that has been really important, especially with the Black Lives Matter stuff. I've really tried to educate myself on my privilege. And it's just not enough to say like, I'm not racist. You know, I love Black people. I love these, but you know, it's not enough to just be like, I don't have any issues with Black people. You have to actually be proactive and support these people in a way that's not just not anti them. Do you know what I'm trying? That was like, I said that in a really weird way, but it's just not enough to just not be racist yourself. You actually have to go out and be proactive with these things. And for me, it has really been about educating myself. You know, it's easy for someone to say, like, you know, you shouldn't wear that certain hairstyle because it's cultural appropriation. And I've always just been like, okay, if you say so, I just won't do it. That's fine. But now I want to understand why it's cultural appropriation. You know, it's not enough just for me to just be agreeable. I need to understand and educate myself why. I need to understand what my white privilege is. And so that's been a big thing for me this year. And I feel like, you know, Brené and Jamila especially have some very unique individuals that have perspectives and life stories, upbringings, cultural things that I've never experienced myself. And it really is opening my eyes up to different things. And I just think that that's so important. And it's been a big thing for me this year. Another podcast that I love is the Gold Digger, Gold Digger podcast from Jenna Kutcher. And she's just like a business podcast that gives advice on like Instagram, EDMs, like selling products. Just it's like a real businessy kind of one. And I just have been enjoying her content. All right, next up, what to read. My top books from this year were Atomic Habits by James Clear, which is all about setting habits. Now, I was like, wow, this is a fucking thick book when all it needed to say was just like, do it today and then repeat it tomorrow. And I didn't really understand why I needed to read a whole book about setting a habit. I got it from my cousin, but I really enjoyed this book. There was just so many little things about setting habits that really taught me about setting yourself up to make sure that you can repeat that habit and setting how you set yourself up for failure and how you set yourself up for success with your habits. So if you're someone who wants to create habits, it's a really good a good book to listen to for the start of the year. Untamed by Glennon Doyle. I don't need to go into this again. This was a life-changing book for me that I read this year. I bloody loved it. It's all about sort of like being yourself, female empowerment. I loved that book this year. I've talked about it many times. Next one, The Space Between by Zara McDonald and Michelle Andrews, who are the hosts of the Shameless podcast. This was a really refreshing book. It's aimed at 20-year-olds, but I really loved it. And it's that space between when you're like a teenager becoming an adult kind of thing, you're not quite 30, all that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of listicles in it, which make it really fun to – I didn't read it actually. I listened to it on an audiobook because they're a podcast, and so I wanted to listen to it like it was another podcast. It was just very honest, open and raw. They have like all different kind of short stories, I guess, they talk about. So one of the girls talks about living with a family member with cancer. There's a discussion about, you know, trigger warning, sexual assault. And then there's all just those little things about boyfriends, careers, all that kind of stuff. So it's just, I really, really enjoyed that book. And so if you listen to the Shameless podcast and you haven't read that book, I suggest you do because it's really good. Next up, How to Be Fine, What We Learned by Living by the Rules of 50 Self-Help Books. Jolenta Greenberg and Kristen Menza wrote this book. And basically what they do is they live for a whole week. They live by the rules of a self-help book. So it could be like The Secret. And then they do exactly what the book says for a whole week. And they did that with 50 different books. And then they wrote a book about all the different things that they learned, about certain things that are bullshit from books, certain things that worked. And I just found it like, it's like reading the master guide for every self-help book ever, like, and all the things that you should and shouldn't listen to. I just found it really interesting. So I really think that if you like self-help books, I think that you'll really like this book because it just like kind of calls some of them out for being a bit of bullshit because people have actually practiced it. It's one thing to to read books and think like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. But hearing from someone who actually did all of these rules for 7 days straight, or maybe it was 2 weeks, I can't really remember. It just is like a different take on things. I really, really enjoyed it. And then the other book this year that I really liked was Dare to Lead by Brené Brown, which I think was just a really good book on sort of vulnerability and leadership. Love me some Brené. All right, products of the year. Let's get into it. Air fryer. Every day, all day, I bloody love my air fryer. If you don't have an air fryer, wake up, get a Clue, get to Kmart, get yourself an air fryer. It's a game changer. It's just set and forget. You put stuff in there. It takes half the time of an oven. You just put it in. You don't have to think about it. You're not setting the house on fire. It just is like so easy and it makes chicken so succulent. Oh my gosh. I'll never eat chicken another way again. It's so good in the air fryer. I bloody love it. Next up, OPI nail polish. During isolation, we obviously couldn't get our nails professionally done. So I started, like, I just was like, oh my God, I need to get some good nail polish. So I purchased like the primer, the nail strengthener and the like top coat from OPI and then a few of their like infinite shine nail polishes. I'm just really enjoying them. I'm sure that there are better nail polishes out there. But these ones I just think like have really helped keep my nails like strong to grow because they were in pretty bad shape at the start of ISO because I had to take my own shellac off. And yeah, I just felt like they really got me through, got me through ISO and I've gone and bought some more. I'm not going to go get my nails done anymore just because you have to put your fingers in like that little lighting machine. I just don't want to add any kind of like extra sunburny, cancery stuff to my nails. But yeah, really love the OPI nail polish. Next up, the Caramel Crunch Candle from Glasshouse. The Hembros recommended this candle to me and wow, it is the most delicious and potent candle in my house. I love that candle so much. When I go and buy it at Peter Alexander, it's like a collab with Glasshouse and Peter Alexander, I buy it twice because it's so good and it sells out quite a lot. Next up, the linen candle from Palm Beach. It just smells so fresh, like clean sheets. It's just got that real freshness about it in your house. Love that candle too. Next up was MAC Blow Play Blush. It's like a bouncy kind of formula that's like a cream that's kind of like also like a powdery cream. Does that make any sense? And they have some really like really pretty colors. I put it on every day. It's just got like a nice sheen to it. It's easy to work with. Just bam, blush is done. Love that. Next up was my Mecca Cosmetica Weekend Skin Foundation. And it's just a very sheer, like a bit more than like a BB cream, a bit more than like a tint, but not as heavy as a foundation, but you can kind of build it up to sort of like a medium coverage. And I just whack it on with my fingers because that's the fastest way to do it. And it just melts into my skin a lot better. It just kind of evens out my skin tone. Looks like I've got like made a bit of effort, but it's like allows my skin to still breathe and look quite natural. Like you can still see my freckles through it. And I just am finding now the older that I'm getting and the more sort of like wrinkles that I'm getting, I just don't want something that's caked on my face. I want to look young and fresh and dewy. And I love that product. Next up is the 5-Minute Journal, which is the gratitude journal that I've spoken about many times. It's just a journal that I use every morning. You complete your gratitude and every night you do the same. Now I have the Mega Babe deodorant. This is a natural deodorant. At the end of last year after my cancer diagnosis, I decided to go on a natural deodorant journey. And let me tell you that Mega Babe is the best. The delivery is expensive from America. I think it's like $14 US for the actual deodorant itself. And then delivery is like the same price. So it costs you like, I don't know, like $40 Australian to get it here. But mine has just run out today. No, not today. Sorry, this week. I literally just cracked open a new one. And the first time I opened it was December. That's how long last year. It took a year for me to get through one deodorant. I reapply every single day. So I don't really understand why, like it just is infinite. It just never ends. It's like the Mary Poppins of deodorant. And I bloody love it. It's so good. There's obviously a bit of a, if you're on like a non-natural deodorant, like Rexona and stuff, it takes a couple of weeks for your body to kind of detox all out those toxins and you'll be a little bit smelly. They have like a detox mask actually for your armpits, Mega Babe. But once you're through that, then the deodorant works perfectly. Like it doesn't, I don't ever smell. I'm never worried about it. Like, and I'm just don't have to worry about anything, you know, toxic being so close to my lymph nodes. And that's really why I swapped. And it's one of the only deodorants that I found that work. I tried a bunch and they were a no-go, that's for sure. All right. And finally, my product of the year was my backpack. The minute I just gave up feeling like I was uncool, I don't even care anymore. You know what? I care about being comfortable and having my hands free and not having to struggle up to my apartment every time I go to Woolworths. So I put all my shit in my backpack. My hands are free. It's on my back. I'm comfortable. I'll put my groceries in the backpack. It's just so easy. And I don't even care that I look like a dork. Whatever. Love my backpack. So you know what? Just who cares if you look a little bit silly? I mean, like, don't get me wrong. When I go to the shops, like if I'm going shopping at Pacific Fair, I've got my normal handbag, okay? I'm not carrying about around a backpack there. But from work and stuff, when I have to carry like all my work notebooks home and my laptop and stuff, I bring my laptop. When I go to the grocery store, sorry, I didn't bring my laptop, I bring my backpack. When I go to the grocery store, I bring my backpack. Bloody love it. All right, next up are my favorite recipes of this year or foods. And that was Naked Palmies. You can find that in the highlights of my Instagram, which is a recipe that I got from Ash this year. My friend Ash, and it's basically just Parmigiana without schnitzel coating on it, like breadcrumb coating, breadcrumb coating. Naked's they're like a little bit healthier, and I've made that 1 million times this year. Love it. Spiders, which are just like noodles with dairy milk chocolate and peanut butter. I've eaten about 1 zillion of those this year. Love those. Gordon Ramsay's steak sandwich. Wow, did I live on that thing during ISO? I bloody love that. Best steak sandwich around. Google it. Pork dumplings. I've eaten so many dumplings this year that I'm surprised I'm not actually a dumpling. I just have them in my freezer, and then whenever I don't have time to cook, bam, they go straight in the boiling pot of water. Then I add in like a really nice like sauce. So not into the water. I take them out after they're cooked, but in the sauce I get like garlic, minced garlic, chili jam, which you can find in like the Thai food section, soy sauce, white vinegar, and sesame oil. Cut up some spring onions on top. I put my secret seasoning on there, which you can also find the recipe for in my highlights on my Instagram. Bam, dinner served. Delicious. Also, my Wee Spa cocktail, my magic mango cocktail that I created this year, which a lot of people have been recreating after the Wild Ones talked about it on their podcast. It's become basically a very popular cocktail amongst the punters, which are the Wild Ones listeners. It's bloody delicious. It's exactly like a Wee Spa in a cocktail because it is. You blend up a Wee Spa and then you add alcohol to it. I add in vanilla vodka and Malibu, and it's bloody delicious with some mango nectar juice. And then finally, the bagel. I have eaten a bagel pretty much every morning for breakfast for months. Not every morning, but I would say 4 days a week I have a bagel with avocado, cream cheese, lemon, chili, salt and pepper, and then some dukkah on top. And it is bloody a 10 out of 10. So delicious. I just can't even like go without breakfast. Now, I used to not even be a breakfast eater. And now I just started just before isolation. I started with a bagel because Tammy Hembro used to have a bagel quite a lot when she come into the studio when they would do podcast recordings in the morning. And I'd always look at it and think like, that looks bloody delicious. So I started ordering that same bagel, became addicted, then went into ISO, couldn't order the bagel anymore because that cafe closed. So now I've just been making my own. Love it. All right. That is pretty much it. I've gone through what to watch, what to listen to, what to read, the products, the recipes. It's all there for you. And yeah, I just don't have much else to say. That's pretty much like what I've been consuming this year. They were the best of the best for me. I find it really hard to even remember, to be honest. I had to go through my Instagram and kind of have a look at my Insta stories and look at some old episodes to find like what I've been talking about because I have such a bad memory. It's been hard for me to recall. But yeah, I didn't want to go too in depth with all the things. Like I've talked a lot about this stuff on the episodes, the previous court reports. So that's kind of just an overview for you. Just keep it short and simple. And yeah, other than that, this is it now, guys. The final episode. I'm going on holidays in a few days. I'm going to Sydney, then I go to Canberra, then I go to Hamilton Island, and then I'll be back at work in the new year. I will start off with a new episode in the new year around like goal setting for 2021. I'll be back in the first couple of weeks of January, I think. And yeah, I'm just excited to give you some new ideas, some new segments, new content. I haven't really figured out exactly what that is yet, but I have been brainstorming and figuring out how to like change it up. I don't want to feel like I'm constantly talking and harping on about the same things on this podcast. I'm so excited for some really interesting guests that I want to bring on next year. I'd like to talk to some, you know, a mental health specialist, a female health specialist. I'd like to talk about domestic violence, and I'd like to get one of my doctors on to talk about skin cancer. I just want to talk about a lot of women's issues, the Me Too movement, a whole bunch of stuff, and then some really fun episodes as well with some great guests. Then some, you know, a lot of productivity things. I'd like to get, you know, some of my staff in here to talk to them about, like, you know, like team management, working as part of a team. A lot of you seem to be interested to hear from some of my spin crew. I've got a whole bunch of ideas. I'm so excited to give you new content in the new year. But in the meantime, thank you so much for your support this year. I have actually been so overwhelmed. I really thought that if I got 30 downloads on this podcast when it first launched, that I would be like really happy. I'd never really tested my community on my Instagram. You know, like I felt like I had a lot of people who would message me really nice things in my DM, and I was connecting with my community in that way. But I'd never really asked you to do anything before. I don't do collabs. I'd never done any sponsored content to check if you would buy something that I was trying to like sell. I didn't have my own product to pitch to you. So doing this podcast was like a totally, like, who knows? Will people click on a link? I have no clue. Do I need to have a swipe up? Oh my God, remember all the stress about the swipe up? And I thought if I got 30 people, I'd be really happy with that, and probably surprised if I got any more than that. And there's been so many more of you than 30. So I'm just so grateful that you're willing to have me in your ears and in your mind every single week. And I'm just really honored to have this time for you to listen to what I have to say. And then the time that you give me to listen, that you give me to, like, you know, Instagram about the content that you liked, or to leave me a DM or whatever it is, I really appreciate you. And I see you all out there. So thank you so much. And yeah, I think this week's thought of the week is just bring on 2021. I'm so excited for a new year. It does feel like more than ever, something fresh is starting in 2021. We all just need to rid ourselves of 2020, I think. So I'm just really excited about that and what the future holds for this podcast, for me, with my stationery, all that kind of stuff. I'm just at a very exciting time in my life, which at this time last year, I was not there. I was like, am I going to die? To be honest, it was like not a great position to be in. I was like, oh God, what's cancer treatment going to be like? What's going to happen? You know, there were all these unknowns. And I just feel like so free of that. I just feel like 2021 is going to be the year. I just feel like more settled into who I am. I'm not going to be going through cancer treatment. I'm not going to have all of those sort of extra mental stresses on my life. I'm going to be able to just like sail, you know? Although, no one expected COVID, so who knows what the future will bring, but I am very excited for the new year. I hope all of you have a beautiful Christmas, a very Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. Stay safe, guys. I will talk to you in the new year, and get all your goals ready to go, and we can discuss them in the first episode when we come back. All right, thank you so much for listening. It has meant so much to me. I'm not going to be back for a few weeks, but in the meantime, have a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and protect the skin you're in. Bye.